in Luke 22 and 42 this morning. Read a verse there. Turn over there. And I'd like to just kind of put these words in your mind today. I think if we leave here today, and this is what we carry with us, that we'll carry the main core message that God has for us today. Not my will. It's not something, I think most of us have heard the stories, but this morning I want us to really consider what that means. Here in Luke 22 and 42, this is where Jesus is praying, and he says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." Now, why did Jesus say those words right there? When you think about it for a minute. But I think if we can answer, we think about this, we would see that the reason why Jesus asked the Lord to remove the cup for him is because there was something in him that wanted something different to happen in this moment. That if it was a possibility, if there was a way, that he was looking for some other way that this could go through. I don't think Jesus was saying that he didn't want to be the Savior of the world. I don't think that he was saying that he didn't want to see all men come to the knowledge of Christ. I don't even think that he was saying he didn't want to complete the Father's plan. But he was saying, "Lord, if there's some other way to do this, can we do it that way?" What is that? That's his will. That's the will that Jesus was dealing with here, that he was having to battle and submit to something else. All right? And he does that. He says, "Nevertheless, not." He even names it out and says, "Not my will. Father, what I'm struggling with right here is my will. My will wants something different." Even in this moment, we say, well, this is Jesus. He went through so much. He already had left heaven and came to earth. He already has suffered ridicule, people not believing he was who he was, people mocking him. He had suffered so many things already to this point. Why is there still an issue that he has to pray about called his will? He's already submitted so much to God, and that's who he submitted to ultimately. But part of that was in the face of others who he knew weren't more powerful than him, who he knew didn't know as much as him, who he knew had no idea what he had seen, already had knowledge of, mocking him. So in submitting to his Father's will, he had actually submitted, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but he had allowed some other people their will, which hurt him in being willing to submit to the Father. So he'd already gone through a lot. And now he comes down to the final moment, and still he's battling something called his will. And he's finding that he still has to lay something down in order to finish the job that God has sent him down here for, that he's already spent 33 years on earth for, that he's gone to the very last moment, and yet he's still having to say, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." In order to complete the job, he was still having to pray that before the Lord. And he did pray it. And he was successful. And he did complete the Father's will for us this morning. Thank the Lord, he did. But, you know, my point what the Lord's put on our heart here is that this is very real. This is a very active determination that Christ had to employ in his life. It didn't just happen. There wasn't a point where he got in will mode and then just cruised on through. And everything was just submitted to God. And he was, if you understand, he's like cruise control. He finally got to the point where he got to the right speed on the right road, and he just clicked the cruise control. Okay, well, I had to do a lot to get here, but I got here, and so now I can just click cruise control, and here we go. I got lane keep on. I got crash protection on. All this stuff on. I finally got to this point where I got it. I just click it all, and we can just go. Driverless car. It took something to get here, but we're here, so now we just go. That's not, the Lord had to drive the vehicle all the way to the finish. He had to have hands on. The gas pedal, the steering wheel, eyes open, watching the road to the end, to the finish. I say that because then I'm aware of something. I'm aware that that's going to be the same path. He said, I am the way. And that encapsulated everything he was and did in the way he conducted himself in this life when he says, I am the way. So what he just told me is, Brandon, to the end of your life, you're going to have to keep your hands on this wheel. You're going to have to keep your foot on the gas. You're going to have to keep determination. What? To know how to get there? No. To keep your will submitted so that we can stay on this road where we need to go as the Lord leads me in life. See, he's going to lead me. He's going to drive. He's going to enable me. But I'm going to have to keep my attention on the fact that there's something inside of me called a will. And it still daily has to be submitted to the Lord in order for him to accomplish. You know, we have a word called laissez-faire. All right? And I want to just put in our minds this morning that it's easy for us as Christians to get to that point and have kind of a little bit of a laissez-faire attitude. Okay, laissez, and the second word is faire. All right, so this is obviously a word that's not English, but it's used in our society, and I remember growing up hearing it quite a bit, and I don't know if that was because I grew up in Louisiana, and that's where these words, or if that's something that was used across. But the word means basically, let the people do as they choose. It's the idea that people should be free to choose how to do things without too much control from someone in authority. A policy or attitude of letting things take their own course. And when I say that we as Christians can have a struggle in life of getting to a laissez-faire, what I mean is we can do a lot to get to a point where we've kind of got ourselves in the mode. Okay, I've gone through the hurdles. In one place, Peter's writing and he says, after you have been troubled for a while, basically, that's not the exact words he used, but he says, after you've been troubled for a while, the Lord establish you and strengthen you. And so we go through maybe some initial grounding or something, trying to get grounded in the Lord. And we get grounded in the Lord, and then we're like, okay, well, let's just let this thing ride from here. And not out of any bad attitude or necessarily something from God, but maybe we're just not thinking enough about what it's going to take to make it to heaven, all right, and to walk this way with the Lord. And we can decide to say, well, let's just let life kind of happen from here and let it just kind of go. As a Christian, we're going to have something more than a laissez-faire attitude. That's not going to work for us. This idea that, well, the Lord, I gave him enough control to get me to this point. Now I'm just going to kind of live my life within these boundaries that have been established right now in my life. You know, Paul says, I count not myself to apprehend it. Thank you. I count not myself to have made it to that point yet. But I press on toward the prize. This is some of what Paul was saying there. Look, neither as I was perfect or, we need to turn over there. I didn't have those verses, but that's, I believe, in Philippians. Now, excuse me for a moment. All right. It says, Philippians, the third chapter, and the 12th verse. Let's just pick up there. It says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He has apprehended me. I am with him. But there's a purpose why he apprehended me. What is the purpose? The purpose is to get me home to heaven. So I don't stand here and count that I have obtained that. That I'm where I can just click the cruise. That I can just have a laissez-faire attitude. We're where we need to be now. Let's just let this thing roll from here. But I press towards the mark, as he says, brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The purpose why he apprehended me. It's not what shall separate me from the love of Christ. All these things. If we're in this with the Lord, by what I'm fixing to say, I don't mean that something can come in and just rip us apart. Because if we're in tune with the Lord and we're doing what we need to do to follow him, then there's a bond and there's a power to keep us. But things aren't signed, sealed, and delivered. All right? They're signed, sealed, and delivered on the day that the Lord calls us home. There's no changing at that point. There's no need. There's a point there where we have apprehended the prize. And we have it. In this verse, no longer we can say, well, Paul, that was a great verse. It got me through this life. And thank you for it. But here we are. We're here now. And there's no turning back. There's no going anywhere else. We're in the place that the Lord apprehended us for. We're in heaven. And we're standing here. All right, but it's going to take something more than a laissez-faire attitude. And there's a reason for that. And the reason lies in our will. Because even in the place where I have come to this place with the Lord and have got where we're talking about putting on that cruise control, there's something in me still that's called a will. That to get to this point, I had to submit to the Lord. And to stay here, I'm going to have to submit to him. You know, there's this, I was thinking about in Genesis, the second chapter. Lord help us, we appreciate your prayers very much. It says in Genesis, second chapter, in the 15th verse. So the Lord God took man and put him in the garden. Here we are. God's brought me here and he's put me in this garden. It'd all be time for cruise control, right? All right? And so he put him in the garden to dress it and keep it. So how many trees do y'all think were in the garden? You know where I'm going with this, but I mean, do you think there was just two trees? There wouldn't be much of a garden, would it? I mean, if I plant a thing of bean plants and I plant a thing of tomatoes, I probably would tell you, well, I've got some tomatoes and I got some beans. But I don't know I'd feel real good about telling you I had a garden. All right? If I'm planting a garden, I've got some rows. I've at least got a 4x4 area, like we used to do sometimes. There's something to this. So point being, this garden probably had plenty of things for them to partake of. I just imagine that it did. All right? And so he puts them there and he says, he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt die. Okay. So, I can eat any tree I want to in this garden, except that one. That's what you're telling me? All the trees. Okay. And if I do eat of that one, I'm going to die, right? So it's a poisonous tree, so to speak. So what you want me to do is you want me to eat all these other trees and anything I want of them, absolutely every other thing, but you don't want me to eat the poisonous tree. No problem. I mean, that should have been the response, right? Why would you respond any other way? All right? But let's look over here in the third chapter. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. You know, I said we have a will and we have an adversary. And that's the problem. with the rest of life and cruise control. All right? The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, I have something about the Lord that I'm really glad of. I'm really glad he's more that I have him. And he's more powerful than Satan. Because I'm not. I wondered why the devil didn't just try to sneak a little bite of apple into their mouths real quick and just shove it in there. You know, he had a greater purpose. He knew that if he could get them to decide that they wanted this, that there was an issue then. So that's what he went for. He said, hadn't God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't he keeping all this back from you? Well, no, he didn't say that. He said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. So he's already presenting this idea. God, he tried to do it as strong as possible, but God's keeping something back from you. Well, now, why should that be a problem? The Lord can keep whatever he wants to, but it's a problem because there's something inside of us called a will. That if somebody tells me I can't do this, how many times have we said that? Look, I'm just fine. I don't have any. But somebody tells me you can't. Don't go do that. We see it in children. We see it in ourselves. The minute somebody tells us we can't do it, all of a sudden we've got a problem. Why? Because there's a will in us that says you're not going to keep me from doing what I want to do. And so if you tell me I can't do it, no matter how much I went for years without wanting to do that thing, the minute you tell me I can't do it, there's a part of me that goes, just watch me. You know, it's called our will. And it's the problem. It's the reason we can't just cruise control through this life. Because if we do, Satan combined with our will is going to take over. And we're going to crash. And we're not going to stay on the path we need to stay on. And he said, she said, no, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that's the one he said we can't eat or we'll die. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The thought, the idea that I could, you mean, but God said, but I could, there might be, maybe I could take a bite here. And maybe he is just keeping me back. And that whole struggle then, in my will and the Lord's will, you know, it'd been fixed right here if she just said, well, I mean, you may be right, but God said, don't eat it. What would that be called? Submission to God's will. Would have kept her right on the road where she needed to go if it had just been about what does the Lord want in life. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, or if it's good or not, if it's healthy or unhealthy. Well, what's that got to do with anything? This is a secret we need to get a hold of in our life. It's not about whether it's even right or wrong, good or healthy, whatever it is. What did the Lord say? That's the secret to staying on this road. What did the Lord say? I don't even have to understand it. I don't have to know why I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. I don't have to know why I'm supposed to love my enemies. You can explain it. Well, in this situation, it's okay to not really go that way because of some justification that man comes up with. Well, you may be right. I don't know. But the Lord said, love my enemy. The Lord said to turn my cheek. This is called, see, the battle's not in the knowledge. It's in the willingness to submit to the one who has all the knowledge, to do all that with him and simply learn how to submit our will to what he's told us in life. But the devil knows if he gets off of that point and trying to debate whether something's right or wrong or all these kinds of things, that he can get us moving in a direction that's not purely where the Lord is trying to take us in life. Lord, help us. How many trips have you been on that there was something you knew about the land you went through when you got done that you didn't know when you started? Or maybe when you were into the trip for an hour. You know, we went to the Grand Canyon this summer, and I don't remember the total hours of that trip, but there were a lot of hours on that trip that I could have got to and still not known what was ahead. I've seen pictures, I've heard people talk about it, but when I got there was something I saw with my own eyes that I understood in a way that I didn't in all the time before that. Lord, help us this morning. That's how life is with the Lord. But if the devil can get us start wondering about what's ahead and trying to figure out the logic, how logical it is, or something else besides what did the Lord tell me to do? What has he taught me? What is the path that he's put me on? Where is he showing me that I need to head in life? That's what matters. Now, Lord, the one thing I have to do is submit my will to who you are. And even if I don't understand it, I know when I get to the end of this road, there's going to be things I know that I didn't. I don't know if I can say it quite how I'm feeling it. But people, stop. Lord, help us not to base our willingness to submit to the Lord on how much we can understand about it. We need to understand one thing. Where is the Lord leading me? What is it that he wants me to do right now in life? What is he making clear to me? And then follow that path. You get to the end of the road, you're going to know all kinds of things that you never thought. You might have said, well, I might as well go this way because that's not really true. And you drive on there, you're like, wow, wait a minute, it was. It really was true. Or this was true. Oh, wow, I see what you were keeping me away from now, Lord. She found out right then the problem. Been so much better to get to the end of life, look back and say, oh, that's what would have happened. Oh, thank you, God, for keeping me away from that. But it says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave eyes also unto her husband with her, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And we know the story from there and what happened. And we know where we are today. And I don't know. I don't want to get too much into what might have happened. But I want us to realize that our will is what leads us astray so much. I hesitate to say 100% of the time. But it's wrapped up in our will. What do we want to do? If we can learn how to submit that to the Lord, he can keep us right where we need to be. John 6 and 38. John 6 and 38 says, Jesus speaking says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And there's an extremely, we're talking about it, and I know we know it, but let's see that right here he establishes the fact of our will in life. That you have the free will this morning to decide whether to serve God or not, because Jesus Christ had the free will to decide it himself. What was he going to do? Was he going to do the Father's will, or was he going to do his own will? He said, I didn't come down from heaven to do my will. It's here. I've got it. I'm dealing with it. This is what Christ is saying. But this isn't what I came down to do. I didn't come down to do my will. I came down to do God's will. Jesus, who would have been more in line with what God wanted in life by just doing his own will? Me or Jesus? I got a feeling Christ would have been way more in line than me. But yet, that's almost not giving credit to the fact of what he had to deal with. He felt the things we felt. He felt the battle of his will in life. We're establishing that this morning by the verses he said. But he showed us the way. You're not going to make it to heaven if you're not willing to submit your will to God's will in your life. You're not going to make it. You're not going to get on the path, and you're not going to stay on the path unless you're willing to take the path that Christ took. He took the path he took by submitting his will to God's will, even to the very end. That's how he stayed on the path. There is no way I'm staying on the path some other way. If that's what it took for Christ, it's going to take that for me this morning. You know, there's a story, and I'm not actually sure I have the right. It may take me a minute here to get the reference, because what I wrote down is not exactly there. I believe it's in the 2 Chronicles. Yes. No. Well, there's a story in the Old Testament, and I thought it was Amaziah, but maybe it's 2 Kings 25. Well, I'm sorry. I can't find it. I wish I could. Somewhere in 25 and 5 through 12 of a book in the Bible that I wrote down wrong this morning, and I apologize for that. There's a story of a king who gathered together, he's the king of Judah, and he gathered together 300,000 of his men. He counted them, and that's how many he had. And he was determined that he had a will to go and fight a battle. All right? And so as he did that, he decided that he was going to purchase 100,000 warriors out of Israel, from Ephraim specifically, to go fight this battle with him. And this was his will. This is his decision. This is how he decided he was going to go fight this battle. So he got all that. He paid him, I believe it was 100 talents of silver that he paid. And they were coming to go to battle with him. And a prophet came and said, King, if thou wilt do it, if this is your will, if you're determined to go do this, go ahead and do it. The Lord has the power to cause you to fall or cause you to be victorious. But the Lord is not with Ephraim. Don't let those soldiers go with you, because the Lord is not with them, and he will not go with you. You got your decision to make. What are you going to do? Do you know, as we get on this road with Christ and we cruise along, we're going to come to moments like this in life with the Lord. And the Lord's going to check our heart and say, look, we're going to go on from here. This ain't going to work. I'm not in this. If you want to go on, now you do what you want to do. You make your decision right here what you're going to do, but this is not what I'm in. I'm not in this. King said, look what I've already invested. I've already put something into this. He said, your decision, King. You decide what you want to do, but the Lord's not in that. He's not with Ephraim. You've got a decision to make. Well, the story is the king looked at that and said, okay. And he did throw something in. He said, the Lord's able to give you much more than that. You know that. You know that this morning when you come to those moments and the Lord puts his finger on something and you're like, but what about this? I mean, I've already invested so much in this, Lord. Lord, can you, what are you in this for? The Lord can give you so much more than that. Are you willing to lay down your will the way you felt like it needed to happen? And say, okay, God, let's go. Let's go do this your way. That's all it takes. It's all it takes in life is when the Lord puts his finger on something, say, okay, sure. But there's no other way around it. We fight so many things. Because why do we fight and try to do it so many other ways sometimes? Because we don't want to let go of our will. We want to be able to hang on to our will and do it the way we wanted to do it. There's people walking so close, but yet there's things the Lord's putting his finger on, but I'm going to do this my way. Lord, I'm going to stay right here. Look, Lord, I'm just right by you. We're saying, but I'm not in that thing. I'm not in that thing. It says in James 4 and 13, turn over there and read this. James 4 and 13 says, Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And we use this a lot of times to just kind of say, well, the Lord, we almost do what he's talking about not doing in this verse. We really do. Sometimes we do. Because sometimes we say this, and we're going to go ahead and go do what we want to do. And if the Lord wills, it's going to work out. That's not what God's trying to get us a hold of. That's not what the Lord's saying. You know what we say? We say, well, I'm planning to do this, and if the Lord will, he'll let me accomplish it. What is the Lord's will? Do you really want that? You want to find out on the back end if it was God's will or not? Is that where you want to find out? You're sitting in a ditch somewhere, tumbling down the side of a hill off the road and looking up, how am I going to get back up there? Worse yet, you come to the end of life and you're not where you need to be. Do you really want to wait to the back end and find out if it was the Lord's will or not? The Lord's saying right now, before you do this thing, make sure it's the Lord's will. Seek the Lord. Seek him daily. And have a heart not to do what you think might work out, but what you know the Lord is leading you to, the path he's leading you on. That's how the Lord is telling us we're going to need to live this life if we're going to be successful, okay? You know, I want to draw something on the board here. So, life is like a highway. And we'll just say, without me trying to draw heaven, I'll just write heaven. This is where the Lord's taking us. There's one path there, and he's got all his force straight down the middle of this highway in that direction. This is God, and this is what he's doing. All right? Here we are when we don't submit our will to him. Now, I have some people who know a lot more about physics and all that than me, but my projections are that some of these two forces are not going to get me there. Does anybody have an argument about that? Now, my projection is some of these two forces are not going to get me there. But you know what? I also can extrapolate this out. Even though these two are on that road right now, that some of these two forces aren't going to get me there. Do I really have to submit all my will? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to end up in life? There's only one force that's leading straight to heaven. And your will is not going that way. Your will is corrupted by just the nature of who we are. The good news of Christ is not that somehow my will is going to lead me to heaven now. The good news of Christ is that I can submit my life to a force that will take me straight where I need to go in life, that will keep me on this road. Lord, help us. Not even these two forces are going to end up where I need to be. I'm going to have to be willing to submit my will to the Lord. Matthew 7 and 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. And this is so profound. And this is the message this morning. This is what the Lord has given us. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. John 4, here in closing. John 4 and 34. Verse I believe we brought out maybe in either a Bible study or a message recently, but I want to bring it back to you. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat. And I think last time we talked about what is your meat. What is it that you're set to partake of in life? What is it that you're putting on your table? It's the will of God. Is that what it is? Well, then, they're in a straighter path to heaven than what you're doing. But if your will's mixed in with that, even a little, you're trying to do both, that's not going to lead you where you need to go in life. There's another part of this verse I want to bring out today. It says, and to finish his work. God knows we're broken down. God knows we're a rusty old car. God knows all these things. That's why he made us his work. You know what his work is? God doesn't have several things going on in life. He's got one purpose, and that's to get you to heaven. That's what he wants to do. In the process, he can bless your life in amazing ways, give you life more abundant. But his goal never wavers. There's not two goals that he has in life. He has one goal for your life, and that's to get you to heaven. I want him to finish that work in my life. It's not done. It's not time for cruise control. It's not time for just a driverless car. I want to keep submitting my will to the Lord. I want to learn better how to do that in life, so that he can finish his work. And you know what? There's things I don't understand. I haven't driven past them yet in life. I'm not where I can look back on them and say, oh, I get it now. But I have a confidence that the way to understand that is to stay on the road. You know, if we're traveling to the Grand Canyon and all of a sudden I decided to take off for Mexico, we'd have never known the Grand Canyon, much less all the things on the way that we saw. I want to see them. I want to know why the Lord tells me what he tells me. I want to know why he says he has life more abundant, among many other things. I want to see. I mean, I've already got some clues to that, but I just want to see it all. I don't want to miss out on something. Most of all, I don't want to miss out on heaven. And I have no fear. I just know that to get there, I have to learn to submit my will to who he is, and I have to keep doing it so that he can finish his work in my life. Let's let him finish his work. There are many here today who have given the Lord space in their life to work. Let him finish the work. Keep submitting your will to who he is. Don't stop. Don't stop doing your own thing on the side. Listen to the Lord. When he says, I'm not in that thing, say, okay, I don't really understand it. Why can't they go and help me fight this battle? It seems like 100,000 more, 33% more men would really be a nice thing in this battle. But Lord, your will, not mine. Lord, help me. Let's let the Lord finish his work in our life. You pray for me.